Good morning, friends. You are welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. I feel so privileged to be sitting here and just to share the Word of God with you. I pray that you'll be blessed and that you'll be encouraged. We'll get straight into the Word of God. And the topic for today is establishing a devotional habit. Now, friends, in our Christian faith, there are fundamentals. You know, there are things that are elementary, things that we cannot do away with. And one of those things is prayer. Because if we do away with devotion to Christ, devotion to God, we die spiritually. Now, friends, let me also say this. At the center of our belief system, at the center of our Christianity, is Christ himself. We take away Christ from the equation, there's no Christianity. And the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we know from scriptures, friends, that Christ came, he walked the earth. We also know that he was crucified. We also know that he rose from the dead and he ascended into the heavens. But before Christ ascended into the heavens, he left a mandate with the disciples. And friends, as you see in scripture, that mandate has not changed for you. It's the same mandate for them. It's the same mandate for us. It is the mandate to go into the nations and become witnesses to the goodness of God, to the grace of God, and to the mercies of God, through preaching the word of the kingdom and living such lives that bear witness to the grace of God, to the goodness of God, and to the mercies of God. Praise God. Now, friends, I would like us to look at some of the scriptures and see if we can draw some lessons about devotion from those scriptures. I would like us to read from the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 53. It says the following. He told them, he is Jesus. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says to them, you are witnesses to these things. Verse 49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. May God bless you as you listen. May God bless me as I preach. Verse 51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Now reading Luke together with the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, verse 9, 14, the Bible says the following. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, friends, this promise was so important that they had to stay. They had to wait as Jesus had instructed them. And we see that even the mother of Jesus, Mary, his brothers, they stayed and they waited. Now, friends, we also see from the scriptures, the first thing that we see is that they were obedient enough to stay, to listen, and to stay, to wait for the promise. And we see now that the promise is the Holy Spirit. And we see that when the Spirit of God comes, He would empower them. And this is why they stay. That's why Jesus said they should stay, they should wait for that promise. We also see, friends, that they praised God and they prayed as they waited. Now, friends, as we will see in Scripture, we'll see that the church developed the culture of prayer, what we now call the early church in the book of Acts. So this was not some kind of prayer that was organized by believers just to come and pray and trust God for healing or trust God for certain things, for financial breakthrough. This was a culture of prayer. There was a culture of prayer in the church, as you will see even in the following scriptures. It was a culture of prayer. Now, at this instant, they waited. They prayed for days. They waited. They were waiting for God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. So this was big, friends. It was a big thing. It was not a prayer for certain things or for things. It was a prayer for the very presence of God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see the following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. So friends, that's why I said this was not some kind of prayer that was organized for a financial breakthrough or healing or for deliverance. This was big. It was a prayer that was done. And there were other elements, other important elements. Devotion to the teaching of the word. Friends, that's important, because when we devote ourselves to the word of God, we get to pray according to the will of God. As we pray together in fellowship with one another, we encourage one another. We are able to say amen to the next person's prayer. We are able to pray in agreement, and we are able to uplift one another. So the Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Very important, so that we are able to pray according to the will of God. Fellowship, we are able to encourage one another, to lift one another, and to pray in agreement with one another. Breaking bread, it just enriches our fellowship. Praise the name of God. Now, friends, the enemy works very hard. If the enemy can get us away from prayer, from devotion, from fellowship, the enemy has succeeded. So, friends, we see in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that the believers prayed in different circumstances or for different circumstances. But before we go there, I would like for us to get some encouragement from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And the Bible says the following. It says, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray continually. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible is not suggesting that you rejoice. The Bible is not saying you may pray. The Bible is not saying you may give thanks. It says rejoice. Always pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Friends, pause and reflect. Friends, the enemy is so cunning. If the enemy can take away our joy, we cannot rejoice. If the enemy can paralyze us, stop us from praying, then there's no devotion. Praise God. If the enemy can stop us from giving thanks, preoccupy us with complaining, preoccupy us with circumstances and challenges, and sometimes preoccupy us with opportunities, then the enemy has succeeded in killing us spiritually. So the Bible says, rejoice. You might be going through stuff as I speak right now. Pause, reflect. The Bible says, rejoice. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 says the following. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The enemy is so cunning, friends. We need to be watchful. We need to be thankful. And friends, I feel like that's another element that the enemy has taken away from our devotion. To be grateful to God. Maintain the spirit of gratitude for the air that we breathe, the life that we have, the fact that we are still living, for friends, for many things, friends. The Bible says, count your blessings. Because sometimes, as I said, the enemy gets us preoccupied with many things, good and bad things. But the Bible says, be watchful and be thankful. Praise God. Devote yourselves to prayer. Praise the name of God. Now, friends, the church prayed in and for different circumstances. And the book of Acts chapter 12 verse 1 to 5 captures that very well. It says the following. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So James was put to the sword, the brother of John. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. Verse 4. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for the public trial after the Passover. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now, friends, in the early scriptures that we read, we see Jesus saying to them, do not go until you receive the promise from the Father. And we have seen from scripture that that promise was the Holy Spirit who would come and empower them. Now, friends, Jesus knew that for the disciples to live such lives, lives that would bear witness to the goodness of God, for the disciples to go into the nations and preach the gospel, be witnesses, Jesus knew that they would face challenges. So he wanted them to wait for the Holy Spirit because they needed the power. So friends, without the Holy Spirit, without the power, we cannot be effective Christians. It's impossible to live such lives that bear witness to the goodness of God. So friends, we need to learn to wait on God, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to receive that promise, to continuously live in the presence of God so that we are continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, continuously filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be effective witnesses into Judea, into Samaria, and to live such lives that bear witness to the goodness of God. We cannot do it by ourselves. Friends, as we face challenges, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us through those challenges. Praise God. So friends, we see that as the church earnestly prayed, miracles, or a miracle took place. Praise God. We see that they had the courage to face different challenges, including prison and death. Why? Because they had received the promise, and because the promise, the Holy Spirit, empowered them to live such lives. Praise God. In summary, friends, the early church gives us simple but effective examples about prayer and devotion, and that can still be practiced today by the church. Friends, we need to be deliberate in setting aside the time for devotion. Friends, one of the things that, or one of the times that I've come to see or to take advantage of, is the time of load shedding. So if I'm at home and there is load shedding, I opt to use that time just to study the word and just to pray. Because friends, we have to be deliberate. We have to be deliberate about prayer. We have to be deliberate about being devoted to Christ and being devoted to God. And in closing, friends, Psalms verse 5, chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." This is the psalmist. In the morning, Lord. So he set aside the morning to speak to God. Psalms 59, verse 16, the Bible says, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." I know that many of us might struggle to set the mornings. But friends, I want to encourage you. Let's try. Let's be deliberate about it. Set aside, you may start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and 20 minutes to 30 minutes. Let's try to be deliberate and to set aside time to be devoted, or to devote ourselves to Christ and to our Father. May God bless you. Pause, reflect, and may God bless you.